answer. I can.
Actually, I spent 18 months on the 12 days in detention center.
How was the situation there?
Sorry, but it was like horrible place. And actually, not one place because I was in several places. It's like tour. I traveled around Poland from Kenshin, Vengin, Krosno, Przemysl. So I spent like so long time in Poland. First time when I came, I was sent to Kenshin, which is very close to Lithuanian border. I spent there almost 3 months in the detention center. But after that, they changed the place from the single or like from the guys to families. They changed the place, so they brought their families to that place. So we got to transfer to Vengin. I think that was the place, because when you get in at the first time, they will tell you welcome to Guantanamo. So yeah, this is the most famous word for they were like telling us or telling the new people. Sorry, but I have like some problem with the speaker. Yeah, so actually in Kenshin,
is it easier to talk this?
I don't know, but let's try. Hello.
Okay.
So first time when I came to Poland, I was kept in like army station for 2 days. At that time, they brought Arabic translation, like Arabic translator. So he was just saying, "Do this, do this." We didn't know anything. Even they said, "Okay, like you have like a court and there will be a judge." Said, "Okay." So we went. At that time, it was 2021. August 2021. So the judge said, "Okay, I will tell you something. And because you crossed the border illegally, so I will judge you 3 months in detention center. Anyone have anything to say?" We said, "Please." He said, "No, just sorry, shut up, don't talk." We said, "Okay." So we were sent to the detention center, to Kenshin. At the beginning, there was no anything to contact anyone from outside. Just you are inside, you have no phone, you have nothing. Just even we cannot use the internet. But then we found out that we can use the computer, but only for email. So after that, like, we were transferred from buildings to containers. So we spent the time in containers, like many stuff happened and many horrible things. Even the healthcare, it was like, sorry, but it was like shitty, because even I know many people, it was really horrible. But after that, we got transferred to Vengin. In Vengin also, I was during that demonstration happened in Vengin. I was during that time. So in Vengin, when you go there, as I said, they say, welcome to Guantanamo, and you just find out, like, each room has, like, 24 people, the maximum, minimum 18 people in one room. And you can imagine that you sleep with many people in one room. And the place every time was noisy, and it was like 6 blocks. Each block has like 150 people, 170, it depends. But one block was for the administration and the guards. After that, they like renewed the camp or the detention center in Lizhnovola. So they started transferring the people from Vengin to Lizhnovola. Then, let's say we had like better condition, because like less people or like few people they were there. But let's backward and talking about the demonstration and what happened during that time. Actually, in detention center, nobody tells you any information. You know nothing. When you ask someone what will happen to you, nobody answers you. You just like eating and sleeping and do nothing. So when the people started like asking the guards, what will happen to us? Nobody answered. So then the people or the like, they started to ask, and then they started screaming. It was like lunchtime. So we said, okay, we can like going on hunger strike. So it was lunchtime. We refused to go to the restaurant to get the food. It was the restaurant inside the camp, so, but it's like walking like 3 minutes, but with the guards, of course, beside us. So then we refused to go to the lunch, and the people started screaming. Then, let's say, some people started like not only screaming, but like shooting or something. But the guards, at that time, the guards started reacting, beating the people or using the pepper spray, doing something horrible. So after that, also the people got aggressive, and they were like reacting. After that, it was really like horrible night. But then they said, okay, we need from each block, we need like 2 or 3 people. We talk to them and we discuss to them what they want. So after that, they said, okay. They went and talked. They were told nothing. What they asked it, they answered nothing. So then they came back and they said, just we want to check because we saw some photos on the internet from inside the camp. So we know there is some phone, smartphone, because it's forbidden to have smartphone with camera or something else. So we said, okay. Then they came in to the blocks and started taking the people outside. It was very cold. It was like 3 o'clock, very, very early morning. So they came and took us out and started counting us. Then they divided the people. For example, some guard, he saw me and maybe he didn't like me. So he said, go out. He will take me somewhere and maybe send me to arrest or deport me as they want. So after that, they took like, from my group, from my block, they took like 3 guys and they took them inside the block. They said, okay, now you have to destroy everything. If you don't, they will beat you. So they destroyed everything, and the guards were filming everything. And they said, okay, the refugees destroyed everything. So after that, let's say they became like more open. So after that, they allowed us to use smartphone, but without camera. No matter how you can get it, but okay, it's allowed. If you have some people outside, they send you, it's okay. And yeah, then they started to transfer the people to Lishnovole. So let's say Vengin became like a bit better. After that, in May, yeah.
Tell about Przemysl, because
yeah, I'm coming, okay.
The
yeah, then after that, okay, I got transferred to Krosno, and after that, to Przemysl. And Przemysl, I consider it the most worst place because it is a really, really bad place. And
why?
Yeah,
why so bad?
Everything is bad
how
there.
Przemysl is
okay
worse
because
than
they were like really racist people. And even when okay, there was like some administration, we can say, or like supervisor, social worker, you can ask them. But even when you ask them, they say nothing. And the most important thing that you know nothing, that every 3 months you will have hope to get out, but then they prolong your stay. So as what happened to me, yeah.
I can say something?
Yeah.
Because like Nazar was supposed to be in this documentary, but as he said just now, I was waiting for him like 3 times because he had some deadline.
Yeah.
Okay, he will be out on 15th. And I was like waiting with my camera crew. Okay, we are going. But no, they prolonged the same day for another period of time. And then I was waiting for Nazar again and again. So we finished we were shooting for many months, actually. And I was waiting, I think, 3 times when Nazar will be released. But like, it's not like in prison, you have a sentence to wait. And on the particular day you go out. No. In detention camps, you are waiting to the last day, and it's like, no, thank you. We are prolonging for another 3 months, and
yeah,
this is deadly.
Yeah. As she said, like, first of all, They gave me like 2 weeks, so I had hope that I will get out. So then like 45 days, also I got hope that I will get out then 3 months. So it was like really horrible place, and the people getting like crazy, they became crazy. So after that, I got in contact with Maria, and I said, I need help, because really I became in bad condition, like my psychological condition really became bad. And so then Maria promised me that she will help me somehow. Also, at that time, I was doing hunger strike. I was doing hunger strike for 10 days. I lost almost 8 kilos. After that, I was released because of my psychological condition. And as they said, no longer you're staying in detention center because of the risk for your health or for life.
Yeah. I want to ask you one question. How do you feel after watching this documentary? Like, everything is so familiar but so horrible at the same time. How do you feel about it after watching this?
Actually, it reminds me that...
There is also some footage I got from Nazar, because we know each other like almost 2 years or more probably. Yeah, because we met each other when he was in Vengen, and we were in close contact. And actually, like, I'm super grateful, because Nazar for a long time was my eyes and ears in detention. And he got me some illegal footage from inside. And I was just wanted to ask you, how do you feel after seeing all this again?
Yeah, actually, it reminds me that time when I was in detention center and all horrible things happened. But then I say, okay, it's gone. And now I am outside, and no longer I am there. But also there is something like moving inside us, inside me, because I was there. I was experienced that. So it touched my heart and touched everything. But I say, okay, no longer I'm there, I'm outside. You know. Actually, there are like many affirmations, and just I try to explain like a bit, because it is long time and like many things happen. So if someone has any question, I can answer it all. Yeah.
Okay. Now I will move to my friend also, Sarvan. But Sarvan is Kurdish.
Yeah, Kurdish.
So we have a translator. He can help us. And he will also get to share with us his story.
رقم دن لادوسی دخاب با خیرایی باسی اوجش تنها خوشی کم که هات ما سنوری پولاند و بلاروسیا.
Hi, I'm Baban. I'm coming for translate for him. Sorry if my translating also is not very good, because you know I'm not specialty for translating, but I do best for him.
You are doing so well. Yeah.
Also, I don't have a plan when I'm going to make a translation now today. And he wanted to talking about this history when he's in the close coming Poland.
Cedar Hatmana Khach Poland.
3 times he's coming to inside the Poland land.
Dwai Halgirtini Sot Panza Shilometer Korakam Lasarshan.
He picked up his children for more than 150 kilometers with his shoulder, and because he's disabled, and another disabled for more than 10 kilometers to help him.
Hamisha geishtina shweni mavast. که بین برای آلمانیا ولام سرباز کانی پولان در دژیری آنکردین و دیپورتی آنکردین.
Every time when he's close to this point when he want to come to Germany, and he's be arrested and send it back to Belarus border.
پس تو کاتی و آخر زاریش دیاری چیم پیدا این لسر سیمی گاز کرمس کرجان لب نالا کندا.
When they are given the bad situation, they are is making the gas to his children, and it's very hard for them to trade like this.
دوای بهاو کاری همو رخ را و کار و کمال خروجنامه نوستن لپولندا و ایتالیا و آلمانیا و استرالیا و آنها با پاپاشیان گوت لواتیکان سینیم بری خوانم یم بر دینه کم کلاس.
And after some organization from this country, when he's market Italy, Germany, Poland, and also in Papa to help them because it's a very bad situation
there.
Because he's lived our country, because they have one daughter, she's sick. They have
epilepsy.
I can pronounce this. And but now all of them a bad situation about the psychology and bad situation for them, all of them, for him, for his wife also, for other children.
لو من آسان راستی لزیندن پولان دایبم بلان سه من دال ستوانیان هی لزیندن بود.
For him maybe it's easier, but what about the three children when they have, why he's going to prison in Poland?
بو حسابی باسی مافی مرو بشکا پولان دا.
And also when the Poland also talking about freedom for the old people.
زور ازیت ما دیل کن پکانی پولندایی بیال استو که چیز بیال خود لاسکا سیمان لیبوی.
He see a very bad situation in to come بیال استو and
بیال خود لاسکا.
بیال خود لاسکا and all both of them is 3 months and it's very bad situation for them.
سه کم سیدرا آزاری بدانی ها براجد بردیم سه پولیس ها بدانی هنای نای نداره.
One of the daughter have a little bit a pain in the teeth, and just the police took him to the doctor and bring out 2 teeth from him, not be fixed, just bring it out.
خاطریده لکم پیبوله بیال پودلاس کافر سکا یازده روز توشی کرونا ایبوم نه امیر مخسته خانه خیری بگویم.
اوج نیکن لگتان. بله. And also this lady was with them also. He get a corona and for 11 days is very bad situation for him and nobody can help him to take him to hospital.
It's not خوش یک نمراستی لکم پی پولاندا دوشن نبی.
No kind of sick. We not get it inside the close camp in Poland.
سیگرو چی من بسی دخو پینز دخو طاونه بیست آخری چی کتاب چی ما خرید که یک مال دو مال سه مال چیج توابی از زار بینن سنب سرعتیا.
My story is not be finished for 2 or 3 or 5 minutes. I'm try to write a book. Maybe it will be finished after 2-3 months later. And you also after that you can read this what happened inside there.
بالام اتاج یعنی ما خون بقدر داری همو خاتو ماریا و Ruto, Paulina, how are you in Poland?
And also, I am very grateful for I can give him this help when they give it to me, and they are very kind to me, to all of them.
I wish us mange a garavan rasti serdani le kampi hamu aftan serdari an nakirvan zamaat rakhrao kam barasti mdala kam sheetapun.
And if they are not coming to help them and not coming to the camp to with them, will be very bad situation for them, and maybe the kids going to crazy.
Nazan, but sushak spasiamka.
I can to be thanks for them.
Hamisha khuba khazar ya nazan.
Every time I will be grateful for them.
Zor spas.
Thank you so much. And also, sorry if it's not very good translating because I'm not very
nice. Very nice.
Maria, I think I hear some different stories, and you've been a part of all of this. Is it different from being Iraqi or Iranian or Syrian or Afghani? Is it different situation in the prison?
In Poland right now, the people who are in detention, there are people from every imaginable country. Most of them are placed in detention after crossing Belarus-Polish border. This may sound very, very difficult to hear after watching this documentary, but if they are not left behind in the forest or in the no man's land or in between the in this area between Belarus and Polish border, or as many over 300 that are missing and over 50 that we had found dead on the Polish territory, not speaking how many are in Lithuania, Latvia and Belarus. So in some ways it is so difficult that some of the activists think, thank God, at least they are in detention, they are not back, and they are not dead. And this is the very difficult, like last week we had buried 52nd person, I think, 36th, but 52nd that was found in Poland. I also work sometimes as a psychologist with the families of the people who are dead, and this time it was the same. It was a 32-year-old man from Cameroon. His mother and his sister came to Poland. They helped to identify the body. It was impossible to identify it with eyes. Has to be DNA testing because the man was found in the river. After many months, it was nothing to identify. This sadness and hopelessness, it is something that is, I think, even deeper than the anger. It's under all that, equally among all nations, whether they are from Syria, whether they are from Afghanistan, from Iraq.
It's about people of color, not whites, right? So just let's mention that.
They are not Ukrainians of Ukrainian origin, so they don't have luck. It's so unjust. It is so absurd. And it is so difficult to witness that it is happening every single day, today, yesterday, 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, the problem with detention centers is not from yesterday. It's not only vengeance, as it became a symbol of a very, almost like a most horrible detention ever, which probably it was, but as we hear Nazar and so many people, they say Przemyśl detention is the worst. Maybe it's actually calling. I'm sorry for my phone, I need to turn it off. Because in Przemyśl we have right now hunger strike of, there was almost 100 people that went on hunger strike last week. And some of them started talking to the media, some of them were beaten up, some of them were put in arrest now. It's a Przemyśl center, detention center is a center made from two parts, from detention and from the deportation arrest, which is extremely severe. I have visited all detention centers in Poland because for about 8 years I was an expert for National Torture Prevention Mechanism in Poland. And my role was visitations of detention centers and reporting on the human rights violations there. And it was after visiting the tension in Wengen for a few days that we actually started to visit from Berlin regularly, this detention center. And I pretty much moved to Berlin because I got so disappointed with the Polish asylum system that's so unjust some time ago. And actually, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we got some funding for the project and it developed, and we could help a lot of people like Nazar, like a lot of people who come and have somewhere to come, actually, because the people who are on the run suffered so much in the country of origins, then in Belarus, then on the border, then in detention, and it seems to me like they keep running inside. They don't stop because they don't feel safe. And one more thing that doesn't help them to feel safe is the Dublin regulation. Nazar, you are every day, you are so brave that you came here because he's about to be deported back to Poland any day. Yeah? You've been to church asylum, you are the lucky one, you are after. We have all the time situations of people who come here, but their fear stays with them until this paper comes that Germany took over responsibility for asylum. Because one side of it is this inhuman treatment in detention that you could see in this time, which come on top of inhuman treatment and very close to death situations in Belarus. And then the other part, which we didn't show maybe so much on this documentary, is the access to asylum, which is absurd, which is non-existing.
No, I want to add something, because I saw it myself. When I'm being arrested in Poland, they took us to a station, and they asked me to sign a paper. This paper was that I not want any help or any protection, national protection. As I've been asking them a very good question, can I say no? I need protection. They say to me, you should sign this. In the end, you will sign it. Mm-hmm. By force, by yourself, you will sign it. But yes, in our country, you are not welcome because you cross in a legal way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is one thing that is a very big violation. I studied all those procedures. First paper that a person is receives on the border or wherever they are stopped is the paper, the protocol of arrest, and it says all the time the same things. Yes, everybody confesses to the same thing in almost the same words. I'm healthy. I don't need a lawyer. I will never have anything against the way I was arrested. I don't request to see a doctor. And
no need for protection.
Yeah. And I don't want to be contacted any embassy, any lawyer, anybody. I'm fine. And that's written in Polish. And they are asked to sign.
I came here to see the border only.
Yeah. And that's the beginning of the story. This is how absurd is the asylum system in Poland nowadays. And then, when there is a time to analyze their asylum request, they say, but everything was okay with you. You signed it on the border. You signed it with your signature. There was even a signature of a translator that was present. This is bingo. 1-0 for us. No right for asylum. Yeah, you came without any problems. You have never... Oh, then there is one more sentence. I am not a victim of violence or something like this.
Yeah, yes.
So anything that could be later used in an appeal against detention, they already sign it in Polish with no understanding what they sign.
Even psychologists, there's written that I don't need any psychologist also.
Yeah, that's very easy, no? And then they can be just away put to detention. In the court cases that don't take even 2 minutes sometimes, yeah? that's pretty much written, and they write always in the court decision again the same things, the same 4 points. The foreigner came illegally through green border. That's why there is a high risk of them absconding to another country. The foreigner doesn't have a place to live. They don't have a roof over their heads. And they are here illegal. So 1, 2, 3, 4 plus equals detention.
3 months.
3 months, then later 6 months, then later 1 year. And it goes on. It can be 2 years, yeah?
Yeah.
Year and a half. So this is Poland today.
Now, I have two options. Even we go to Ruth, who is the making of this great movie, and she's the cause of being all here together, or we are taking some of your...
Maybe you have some questions to...
Anyone have... Sirwan? So it's up to you.
Or I can answer everything.
Anyone have a question?
I have the power of attorney.
Okay. Do you want some water?
Yeah. Hi, I just wanted to ask how this film was received in Polish television.
Are you asking me?
I'm assuming you got the feedback.
Yeah. Actually, first of all, the border guard spokesman was invited to the studio because, like, this show works like this. They are publishing, and then there is some discussion with the journalist and some other side in the studio. And the border guards refused to come and to talk to us. And the spokesman of border guard said... wrote in an official reply that this document is all lies. So this is first thing. And also, like, we were, like, checking the feedback. And I think that, like, the migration issue in Poland now is, like, a pretty hot topic. And, like, it was a huge racism. Huge wave of racism after publishing this documentary. Like, I, of course, like, in my community, whatever that means, like, it was like everyone was well done, but in general, people were, like, sending me to Israel to leave Poland, sending all of my friends to Middle East again. And I think it didn't change much. Basically, like, it's exactly 1 year after the Polish ombudsman create this report about the horrible conditions in detentions. And this report was completely ignored by border guards. The conditions in detention camps didn't change. The only thing that is different is that horrible camp in the military base, it's not working, but basically nothing changed. The border guards completely ignored the very important report of the human rights spokesman, the ombudsman, and the report of the
National Prevention Mechanism.
Yeah. And as Maria said, but I would like to remind it to you, just a few days ago there was another, I don't know, because, like, at some point I stopped counting the hunger strikes in detention. It was, like, I don't know, about 20, because, like, it's some of them were bigger, some of them were smaller. One of our friends, I think Mohammed, was the longest hunger strike. I don't know how many days. Can you remind us?
Like 19 days.
19 days of hunger strike. So, like, I stopped counting, but, like,
Kurdish strike was for over 1 month.
Ah, yeah. So. But there was another hunger strike. Almost whole camp in Przemysl was on hunger strike for 5 days, and they stopped. And why they stopped? Not because someone was up to agree to their demands. No, they just threatened them, beaten them, and 8 people are missing now. I don't know where are those people. Maybe you have some update, but I don't. I sent an official email to the commander of Przemysl, we know nothing, no one replied to me. So the 8 people are missing and the hunger strike is over because they were threatened. So this is Poland now.
Thank you. Yeah. And I have to say that as far as the reaction, I wouldn't just say it, that was a negative response. It was actually hate crime. It was anti-Semitism. Yes. It was a lot of, like a whole package. I felt so sorry for you when I started to read the comments in the social media, how they would respond to Ruth as a...
Yeah, but like in general, it was bad feedback. I think a lot, like mostly racism and a lot of hate. And yeah, all these comments are fitting in our government and the migration policy, which we have known actually.
And for example, a few days ago, we had a Green Border film shown in Venice from our best movie director, Agnieszka Holland. It had 15 minutes of standing ovation afterwards. It's a beautiful movie about Green Border, about Belarus border. Still didn't have premiere in Poland. It will have a first time shown. It will be shown on the 20th of September. And the Minister of Justice said that it is a propaganda, like a Nazi propaganda against the government. So this is the type of reaction which you can expect from anything that uncovers the truth about migration and about today's situation in Poland.
Where else? Okay, so we go to Ruth again. Anything to add?
No, I think I told everything, and like I'm like super grateful that we are seeing each other today with Nazar, with Sirwan and his family, and Ali and Safa, and like for me, like I don't know how you are feeling about this, but for me, watching this documentary again and again, it's traumatizing. But like, as my friends are saying, I'm too white and too sensitive. But like, I'm super happy it happened, and thank you for invitation. And I don't know, we know Nazar for like almost 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was really waiting to interview him, and I did, but for something different. And like, it's really surreal that we are here today after all this. But like my point is that it's still happening, all this stuff. People are still crossing. There's still human rights are violating. The detentions are like too long. The people are being beaten. Border guards are using teasers, violence, racism, like all you want. And I don't know. I think we need some resistance. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for your courage and for presenting this film here.
I want to say something.
Yeah.
Can I? The last thing. Yeah, because like this is very important. Because when we were doing this film, all of the people I was speaking to had amazing courage, because for all of them, their legal situation was not certain yet, not stable. So all of them were facing Dublin to Poland. Actually, it happened to one of our characters, to Yunus. Yunus was deported to Poland, and we were like all scared if he will face some consequences.
Okay.
Like, luckily, he didn't. But like it took amazing courage to talk to us back then, when their like legal situation was not certain, and they could like be again locked in the detention camps and face whatever violence or something. So like it's really something that you all agreed to talk to us and make this decision. Thank you.
I think you guys ask now.
Go ahead.
I would like to make a comment, not a question, because I am working here in Berlin with the Dublin system, and we are fighting against the deportations to Poland, and it is so important to be able to look at this, what you do, and to make it public. And I find it very important that it is shown in Germany because the German government refuses to look at this and to recognize the situation in Poland. And doing this, the German government is taking part indirectly in the situation in Poland. So I think it is very important for us to see it here and blame our own government for that.
Thank you. Yeah, let's blame them.
I have something to say. All of us, Nazar, Savan, and a lot of us here as refugees, we are suffering in our countries, so we have this decision to get out from our countries, to move to another countries, to find a safe way or safe place. There's nothing but than more important than family. Savan, I think you understand me because I have children in my country waiting for me to reunite the family. Yes, thank you. I lose the word. I suffer on the way from Belarus to Poland because I can handle it, but I don't want my family to see what I saw. There's something in my side. I think Nazar and Savan share me the same feeling. In broke. On the border, you are not a human. On the border, if you have luck, you can cross. If you don't, you can catch. The first thing you will see, a huge dog waiting for you. Bad words. Even if I will not say it, but almost bad words. You know that it's bad words. I don't came here by myself. I'm not happy to cross your border. I'm not happy to be part of your evening. But this is my situation in my country. I have war. I came here. Very thankful to be part of this meeting, to see Ruth. And it touched me very much. I don't go to the Christian prison, but I see what happened. I don't want a resistant. I want more help for us because we deserve it. We are people. Maybe we are careful. My color is not the same. I don't have blonde hair. I don't have blue eyes, but I'm human. I'm not Ukrainian, but I'm still a human. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, you have a question, Baban. Baban was also through the same path. He's helping with translation, but he also was...
Yes, I wanted, I don't know, because while we talk about it, we have a lot of hopelessness in Poland because there is, the border guard says that if people are put in detention, it is because all of them otherwise would come to Germany or to other countries. So they do a favor for the whole Europe to keep people in detention. This is the whole new European policy, yes, to externalize, put everybody in detention, make the whole Europe the way that Poland is. I hope it will never happen. But what is very sad, I've been working in Poland for many, many years, and I noticed that people who are taken care of, even in Poland, that can be racist, that can be having many problems on social grounds. People who are taken care of by somebody, they want to stay there because they feel kind of secure wherever they are, even some of them in Poland. People who are placed in detention, whose fear is induced and to extreme, if the minute they will be let out of those detentions, they will run. They will come to Germany. They will come to Italy. They will come, I mean, even to Italy. Some of them even run to Italy from Poland.
Yeah, my
really.
Friend is there.
Yeah. There are people who will run because they never met acceptance. They never met with understanding, with those human qualities. They never felt as humans, like you said. They just felt as objects, as numbers, as unwanted, hated. So they run. They run to safety. And it is bullshit. It is complete lie to say that detention prevents movement. Detention causes people to run further. Only they are much more traumatized and it is much more difficult for them to integrate wherever they will come to. And one more thing. People, there are some people who leave detention in Poland and they stay in Poland. There is a group of people that are living in Poland. And recently we've seen there were some very awful deportations from Poland to country of origins. One of the friends was... Or Saad?
Saad Hamid.
He was put in this cask, like you know, you see on the movies for the terrorists, from top to head, with head closed, with arms like this, and stuck into the plane, and nobody protested. He cried for a few hours. He's in a shitty situation in Iraq. And those type of deportations, when they happen, this way, the world goes around. Next day, whoever wanted to stay in Poland runs because they don't feel secure. They feel any day it can happen to me. I have a client. Today we had a court case that we lost. He was in Przemyśl.
Yep.
He's from Iran, from a small minority in Iran, human rights person. But after many months, he was actually in Germany before, but he was deported. Everybody thought the church asylum is no longer needed because it's over technically, but he got deported. He got deported, he got placed in detention. He got suicidal. He had few suicide attempts. And one time you were a witness of it. He said that this, what is this food? It is too small of a portion of food. Eat it yourself. In a sign of a protest, he brought the food back. He was treated with paralyzers, with tasser. He was beaten up. It is on camera. The court listened only to border guards' testimony. They didn't ask anybody from 60 people who were watching the whole scene. They didn't ask what happened. There was a case of criminal case against border guard about abusing the power over him. And today the court said there is no case, there is no proof.
Yeah. And actually, I want to add something because this case happened in the front of me. So this case happened twice, not only one time. First time happened to African guy. But then when the court said, we have no any proof because they like delete everything from the camera. Actually, in the restaurant, when we have the food, there is like many cameras around the place. But during that day, they said there is no camera. And same the guard. The African guy and the Iranian guy. And both of them in the front of my eyes. I saw them. But after that, I was talking to that guard. And he said, I have nothing. I just went home and that refugee went to arrest. I said, okay, that's cool. He said, I am guard here and I have the power and I have everything. I can do whatever I want. But he cannot do anything. So easily... He was sent to the arrest and he like spent all the time in the arrest and he got out.
And I just wanted to say that now with the hunger strike in Przemyśl, the second request of the people who are on hunger strike is that they will stop using tassers and paralyzers on us. So I think that the hopelessness, it is what is really a difficult part of it. When we know, when we witness something, we want to change it, and we have a legal system in Poland that is unmovable right now, with the Minister of Justice that calls our best movie director a person who is using Nazi propaganda against to show how bad is border guard. Yeah? So we don't have any justice, we don't have any system of redress, and we are trying not to give up. So the case that we lost today goes to Strasbourg against Poland for not giving justice to refugees, not having a just process. It's a long process, unfortunately. It is a bit hurting to see that there is so much oblivion and so much, so little attention on the topic from German society, from media, from countries inside Europe that could maybe ban Dublin to Poland, thinking about the level of violations there, and inhuman treatment, and lack of space, and everything else that we put in the long report. We had only one case, one in the court in Germany, that says that the Dublin, giving Dublin decision to the refugee would be equaling to inhuman treatment on the basis of this report and report of Brazil. So this is a bit of a hopelessness, hopeless feeling. And I had, as far as this camp where there is a hunger strike now, a few months ago, there were refugees who were worrying about where Mahmoud is, one of the refugees, and started to call to hospitals to find him because he was in a bad shape and the ambulance came and he never came back to a camp. And there was nowhere to be found for days, for weeks. We couldn't find him. And finally, I called to the number 112. I did all this research and I found that on this day the ambulance came. But the man was dead. They covered up death of a person because they didn't call ambulance for 2 days for a person who had a heart attack. And this person died in the camp. Not only this, but the family was not informed. And it came out that the border guard was considering burning the body or giving it to the medical experiments after death. That his friends in the camp were not informed about him dying. I don't even know if he's buried. We have no information what happened to his body. I remember, because I was in contact with all of those friends who asked me to help to research what happened to Mahmoud. So I gave them the information that he is dead, that it is confirmed. And then I put the case to the prosecutor's office. I said to please check the case of actions of border guard that led to death to such and such person. And they interviewed some of the foreigners. They interviewed them just before deporting them to the wherever they were to be deported. So those Syrians, he was from Aleppo, those Syrians who were witnesses of what happened and what led to his death, I asked them, please, we can get a lawyer and we can ban this deportation. They were all going to be deported to Greece. They said, no, we prefer to be deported to Greece than to stay in Poland. And they got deported to Greece. They are back in Germany now. And it is, I think it's one of the worst countries of EU. I haven't been. There is a lot of inhuman treatment. There is a lot of stuff. There is a lot of things going on in the sea. And this politic is kind of common. But I think there's so much hypocrisy. There is so much cover up, and it is just a few hundred kilometers from here now happening. And so many people like you guys are here in Berlin, in the other sides of Germany, feeling completely unsafe because of Dublin regulation.
As a dreamer, I hope this butterfly effect will cause all the best for us, as we have someone like Ruth who works hard to make a focus on things, and have Maria who is covering our back, and many good persons around. I think things will be better. Thank you all for joining us here, and thanks to you, Ruth, Nazar, Maria, Sava. I don't know what your name, but thank you so much. Thank you.